According to Dr. Shelley Harrell, there are three important processes that can help lead a client to post-traumatic growth. But Shelley says that before change can happen, we have to accept the most difficult part of the human condition.
Post-traumatic growth, I really put in a broader context of stress-related growth. And I think even for clients who have not experienced a major trauma, the construct of post-traumatic growth or stress-related growth is really helpful. So it really centers the idea of people in context, people in relationship to their environment. And what it brings up is the challenges in a sense of the human condition, that there are things that happen that are out of our control. We've run up against the limitations and boundaries of our ability to control our environments, and many forms of trauma are just that. And so part of working with trauma is, and stress, you know, the stresses of our daily lives, is about helping people kind of come to terms with, to face, you know, what is going on, and to face in some ways the resistance to accepting what is going on. And I think that's the first piece. You know, those levels of acceptance of our human condition. In existential therapy, we talk about it as, you know, kind of the givens. Everyone's familiar with Yalom's work. And so that piece for me is very, very central. It's very, very central. So working with trauma or the post-traumatic growth aspect, because that sometimes is towards the end, the middle to the end of the trauma work, the ability to begin to work towards growth from the trauma, is about looking at what's coming up that has challenged one's sense of that life should be fair. Or, you know, that things should work out okay, or that I should be able to control the things that happen. We might work with self-blame. We might work with, let me kind of take a couple steps back. I would say what's center for me in the work is meaning, right? Is the reconstruction of meaning. So when these events happen that challenge our sense of fairness, or that the world is a safe place, or that I am going to be able to control the things that happen or predict the things that happen, when all of that gets destroyed in a significant trauma or is threatened by the various daily stressors, part of the healing and the growth that can come out is centered around being able to make meaning of it. Right. So the meaning making aspect is critical. I think that working with meaning really helps to facilitate, to clarify, to direct our choices. So when we're able to make meaning of something, to find where does this connect to our values, to what's most important to us, and how do we use that as a compass to reset our lives and continue forward.
Connecting clients to their values can be instrumental in helping them move forward from trauma. We've been talking a lot about meaning in this program and how meaning or the lack of meaning can play a large part in a client's progress. Along with meaning, Shelley also sees choice as an important part of the puzzle. When clients are able to have a sense of intentionality again, it can help them regain a sense of empowerment. They can start to see a future and how they fit into it. Part of this power comes from accepting that there is a powerlessness about life.
Trauma kind of slaps us all in the face, and stress can slap us all in the face sometimes and remind us that, you know, that we are powerless sometimes. And that bad things do happen. Pain, uncertainty, uncontrollability are part of life. So being able to not just reset our meaning, but reset our sense of power and where our power can come from, and what we can do to impact our lives in the context of these things that happen, that are out of our control. So, you know, I think for me, there's a real existential piece that is important in working with post-traumatic growth, you know, that really centers meaning and centers empowerment. So you would just want me to continue? Okay, fine, great. As I talked about before, those three processes of contemplative processes, communal processes, empowerment processes, and I frame them as allies, awareness, and action, right? Or awareness, allies, and action. So when thinking about just framing the work, those three processes are very helpful. So grounded in awareness, that's really about the meaning-making work, helping people connect with, you know, what's going on for me, right? What are the things that are coming up for me in my cognitive kind of experience? How am I thinking about things? What's coming up for me in my emotional experience? You know, it's important to be able to kind of face emotion. And I think that those, the processes of awareness and allies, of grounding in awareness, connecting to what's meaningful, connecting to other people, that those are the things that then kind of give people a grounding for the empowerment piece. So there's these cycles of reflection, connection, and engagement that post-traumatic growth work is really facilitating, right? So reflection, connection, engagement. And the growth comes out of those ongoing cycles of, you know, sitting and processing in terms of awareness, making those connections, and then using those to inform action.
So to recap, we might want to keep in mind three processes to foster our client's progress during treatment. First, awareness. Second, allies. And third, action. With this framework, we can help clients identify and connect to areas of meaning and empowerment in their life. On the practical side of things, Shelley also offers us a useful technique.
I think in terms of techniques, one of the things that I found really, really helpful for people is therapeutic writing, right, or journaling. And so that's a way of kind of integrating head and heart. It's a technique or a strategy that can help people process their emotions, kind of bring out kind of thought. The writing process is a creative process. We don't always know what's going to come out. And so what can be particularly helpful about writing is it unfolds as people do writing activities. So the making sense of things, the meaning-making process unfolds as the writing occurs. So writing can be both cathartic in terms of kind of connecting to what's going on in awareness, in emotion, but it also can be more creative and more discovery oriented to find what's there, you know, and what may be being processed, and also creative in terms of transforming and making sense of things. So one of the strategies, again, that I think is very, very helpful is therapeutic writing, and that can be done in the context of prompts that you give clients that may be specific to their situation, or general prompts. Or just free writing, you know, write every day for 20 minutes about, you know, what's going on with you in the context of this stressor. Again, I one of the things I would want to do is always make the strategy or technique be a fit for the client. But some prompts that I have found to be useful involve asking the client to, you know, write about their feelings, you know, from a particular feeling perspective. So if a client is struggling with anger, then maybe one prompt would be, what is anger's voice, right? So that they're able to to connect more deeply to a particular emotion. So what does anger have to say about this? Or what does sadness have to say about this? What does fear have to say about this? So some prompts would be specific to the emotion that the client is feeling and trying to really focus in on that voice.
This kind of reflective journaling can really help the client build awareness, awareness that can be crucial for bringing about change. Dr. Kelly McGonigal and Dr. Ron Siegel also use journaling exercises in their work. They share those with us now.
Yeah, I'll share two of the writing prompts that I use and when asking people to reflect on past experiences, whether it was trauma or simply some kind of suffering. And the first is, what would you say to the self who is in the middle of this? And I found that that can be a very interesting writing experience for people. It does a lot of things. One is it helps people recognize you're not still in the middle of it, that this is an experience that happened to a previous self. So already we're starting to get that mindset. And then it also, it allows one to start to mine maybe lessons that you've learned or strengths that you've developed. It starts to develop the voice of self-compassion. So that's one of my favorites. And I also really like having people share what they've written and say it out loud, so they also actually have a chance to hear it, say it to themselves and hear it. Another writing prompt that I use is, what resources got you through this? What inner resources, as well as what outer resources? And again, it's a way, you know, feeling resource is really important for recovering from adversity or trauma. And it's a way of bringing a kind of strength focus or support focus into the conversation. I tend not to use that writing prompt on its own, but it's one that I think a lot of people don't ask about when they're doing expressive writing. And it's an important element that helps people feel resource to continue to deal with the whatever the aftermath is.
One that I like a lot is, it's really borrowed from Kristen Neff, and she and Chris Germer use it a lot in mindful self-compassion training, which is, you know, the writing the letter about the difficulty you're struggling with from the point of view of a wise and compassionate friend, that just to counter the way in which we beat ourselves up so readily. But what I'd like to say is I thought actually Shelley's prompts were very interesting because they were a very interesting way into what we've discussed in previous segments as parts work. And, you know, it's so helpful for people to loosen their identification with, you know, one narrative about me and to notice that, gosh, there's all these different feelings and parts that are activated at different times. But to jump right into talking about parts can be off-putting to people. You know, when you if you do a prompt like, you know, what does the frightened child in you feel right now? And have somebody, to use Dick Schwartz's language, you know, talk from the point of view of the exile, or even talk from the point of view of the protector parts that are trying to keep the exiled parts of us hidden. That can feel weird because we're asking people to enter into this almost mythological universe in which there's all these different beings living in here. And that can unsettle people who are kind of wanting to hold on to the sense that, no, I'm me and I'm a coherent self and the like. So I'm always looking for other approaches. You know, the Gestalt Therapy Two Chairs approaches is one way to do that, but that can feel pretty weird to some people too. What do you mean, talking to myself in these two chairs? And I thought that Shelley's prompts of what is anger's voice, or what's fear's voice, or what's sadness's voice, was a very nice intermediate step toward this kinds of parts work, because most of us can resonate to let your anger speak a little bit now. That doesn't require fully personifying an angry subpersonality, if you will. It can still be part of me, or I can still feel a little bit more coherent. And I think that that could be very helpful, and it can do two things. It can help us to connect with emotions, which often are only dimly experienced, or we're somewhat afraid of them or threatened by them coming into the consciousness. And it also inches us in the direction of seeing that these different self states really are different. And they change quite a bit. And maybe I don't have to cling so hard to thinking I'm this way or that way or holding on to one or another self-state. And I think when people are in trauma, they're particularly ripe for beginning to loosen up these more rigid senses of self. And I thought Shelley just had a really nice intermediate step there with her her writing prompts.
This also plays into the way that clients see themselves and how they see their history after trauma. In the next module, we're going to look at two different ways to help clients shift from orienting toward the past to orienting to the future. I'll see you there.